Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning and to keep on sharing some of my heart for the need for ministry to young people, to people under the age of 18. And youth ministry, like so many ministries in our church, begins with the gospel. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, Paul writes about his desire to see the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save the world from sin, taken to those who don't know it. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 10, from halfway through verse 8. We've got a PowerPoint just up in the top corner here. The words will be there, but it might be a little bit difficult to read. But don't worry, I'm going to read it to you. I'm not expecting that you've got the book of Romans memorized. So we're going to read from Romans chapter 10, halfway through verse 8. Paul writing about his desire to see the gospel taken to those who don't know it. Okay. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Aren't those words just so exciting to read? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For those of us that know that amazing truth of the gospel and know Jesus Christ as our Savior, reading those words just build us up, don't they? And that's what Paul does as he's telling, as he's writing this letter to the Romans, and he's talking about those who don't know the gospel. He starts by saying, here is the gospel. Here is what we know to be true. Here's what we believe. Here is the Savior that we are putting our faith in. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Paul begins with an encouragement and an inspiration about what the gospel is. But Paul is eager that those who don't know the gospel have the opportunity to hear it. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? Those of us that would say that we are Christians, that we know this gospel, we had the opportunity to hear this gospel, to believe in our hearts, to be justified in our hearts, and to profess with our mouths. The gospel is wonderful and life-giving for those of us that personally know our Savior. We know how good it is to have the assurance and certainty of salvation through him. It's the thing that brings us here together on a Sunday morning, isn't it? It's the reason that I can stand here and say hello to my church family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. The Savior that unites us. The gospel is wonderful and life-giving. We have a precious and wonderful truth that we share. And it is such a wonderful truth that it has to be shared. I think that's what Paul's getting at here. This is such good news It has to be shared. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on the one they have not believed in? We are not called to keep this wonderful, amazing, life-giving gospel to ourselves, but to share it. And it is fantastic for us as brothers and sisters in Christ to gather here on a Sunday morning and to declare the truths that we know to be true from His Word, as we sing songs, as we lift up our prayers, as we have fellowship together. What an amazing blessing. But what we are not called to do is to keep that a wonderful blessing inside these walls. Because there is a world that needs to know Jesus. And in Matthew 28, Jesus tells His disciples, go and make new disciples. We're not called to stay within our four walls, but to go out. And this is the calling and responsibility of all of us as Christians. There is a world out there that doesn't know Jesus. There's a city, there is a part of Coventry here in Willenhall that doesn't know Jesus. And we as the church are called to go. And so we come here on a Sunday morning and we declare these wonderful truths and we celebrate, don't we? And it's a wonderful blessing that we get to come together and share fellowship. But there is a world that doesn't know Jesus Christ. The most recent statistic that we have for young people having some form of church connection in the UK tells us that 95% of young people have no church connection. The reason that I say that's the most recent statistic is that that number is 10 years old. So Scripture Union, that's their number, 95%. 10 years ago, they said, we need to do something about the 95% of young people in our country that have no connection to church. To me, it seems inevitable that in the 10 years since that statistic, which I think we can all agree was already shocking, it seems inevitable that even more than 95% of young people in our country have no connection to church of any kind. So therefore, we can also conclude that 95%, at least 95% of under 18s in Willenhall, right out there, don't know Jesus. Romans 10:14. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? This is what drives us at Thrive. Thrive Youth Ministries is all about this. We want to help and encourage and equip churches to address this. Young people have to know the gospel. And the local church has to be where they hear that message. And so our model and our heart is to say, how can we get alongside you as the local church here in Willenhall, where at least 95% of young people don't know about Jesus Christ? How can we get alongside you, share some of our experience, help you as a church to go out and engage the lost? And what we also say to churches is, we cannot do it for you. There's not enough of us. But we will do it alongside you. In Matthew chapter 9, we read of accounts of Jesus traveling through towns and villages, healing the sick, calling disciples, raising people from the dead, and answering questions about fasting. Generally, chapter 9 of the book of Matthew gives us a very broad picture of the ministry of Jesus in action. Basically, there's a lot going on. And it might be a fair kind of reflection of our Christian lives or even the lives of our church. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. I'm sure there's not many of us would say that we don't have lots going on in our lives. But the end of chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, tell us about this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples in the midst of this busy, busy ministry. It tells us that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The message: there's a lot of work to do. There are a lot of people who need to hear the gospel. There are a lot of people to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. And this is another big drive for us at Thrive, to be responding to the need that there is to take the good news out and to be workers in the mission field. And encouraging churches to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into this harvest field. We are eager to encourage and build up Christians to get involved in the work of the kingdom among young people. So now we've learned from Romans that those who haven't heard need to hear this gospel. We've heard that we as Christians are called to go and take this gospel out. And now we've read that the harvest is plentiful, that there are people out there who don't know Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit is at work in hearts and minds. The harvest is ready, it's plentiful, but the workers are few. And that's something that we believe is especially true for work amongst young people. So why is there a need for intentional ministry to young people? Well, the reality is that our churches all across the UK are growing older. We are failing to pass on or engage the next generation. We're failing to pass on the gospel or engage the next generation. That's just a reality. Our churches are getting older. I'm sure that many of us that have been involved in church for a long time have noticed that we're getting older as a church, and are aware of the need to grow younger and invest in youth ministry. We, as the church, as fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a responsibility, but we also have a need to pass our faith on to the next generation. So we at Thrive, we've put together what we would say are three priorities for seeing thriving youth ministry. I'd love to share those with you. They'll be up on the screen, but I'm going to read them out just in case you can't see. So our three priorities for thriving youth ministry. First of all, outreach, taking the good news of Jesus outside of our walls. 95% of young people at least have no connection to church. That means in here in Willenhall, at least 95%. So not only should we be eager to invite them to church, but more importantly, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. Secondly, discipleship. Young Christians are invited into the family of God, are given opportunities to grow in faith and use their God-given gifts to serve. This happens best when we intentionally seek to raise them in faith. How encouraging and wonderful for you as a church to have young people and children running around this morning. Don't we want to raise them well? Don't we want to disciple them? And that helps go on to the next one, number three, whole church involvement. Youth ministry that is left to just a handful of people will be limited in its effectiveness. Reaching and raising young people is the responsibility of the entire church family. Sometimes we think that youth work is something that is just for some people to do. Probably it's whoever is youngest, even if that youngest person is in their 40s. Perhaps in the past that's how we've done youth work. But I think that we've come to realize that this is limited. And we at Thrive believe that the best model for youth ministry is one that truly reflects the church body. Paul writes to the church in Corinth in the book of Corinthians and describes the need for the whole body of Christ to pull together. I'm sure you know it. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We think that for youth ministry to be a true reflection of this is for the whole church to be involved in ministry to young people and children. And for the church to say to young people, to say to children in our church, we are your church family. Here are spiritual parents and grandparents. We care for you. And we want to share faith with you and journey together to live for Christ. And if we say, well, the young adults in our church, they can sort out the youth work, then we are the hand that is saying to the foot, I don't need you. Rather, we need everyone in our church to say young people are the future of our church. We need to reach them and raise them together. So what does that mean? Does that mean that everyone is expected to learn how to play PlayStation? Fortunately not, and I'm hoping that you haven't been thinking that I am suggesting that everyone has the same role to play. So let me share with you, again, this will be up on the screen. This is what we call the whole church approach to youth and children's ministry. This allows for the whole church to say, these young people are our young people. We invest in them, we value them. But it also allows everyone to be involved in youth ministry in some way through doing one or more of these things. That's all right. We've lost it. That's all right. It might come up. We call this the three P's to whole church youth ministry. First of all, there's prayer. Everyone has the ability to pray. And everyone, as we've been reading Romans, I've been reading about the harvest, I've been thinking about our calling to go and take the good news out into this part of Willenhall. Every single one of us has the ability to pray. And for us to pray means that we have to be intentional. We have to say that we are not happy with the fact that 95% at least young people in our area don't know Jesus. So let's get on our knees, start asking the Lord to be at work and to move among young people. That's the first P. The second P is participation. Because for us to reach young people, we're going to have to go out and do some things. The first time I ever drove past this church building and I looked at that big green space out there, I thought to myself, there is so much opportunity to reach young people in this part of Willenhall. It's right there. There's opportunity. I'm sure that you as a church have already done things or are planning to do things. But the second P of whole church youth ministry, the whole church approach is to say, we need to get involved. Now, it might be that you're not able to, that you're limited physically. Well, that's okay, because the third P is promotion. And that means just talking about it all the time. Do you know what our church is doing for young people? Or do you know how many young people don't know the gospel in our part of Coventry? Promotion means talking about the need that there is for youth ministry. And then also asking those who are serving in the mission field what's happening. And so as you as a church start to think more about what is the Lord calling us to do for children and young people, all of us can be involved in youth ministry in some way by following, doing one of these, at least one of these. Prayer. Let's surround young people in our area in prayer. Participation. Let's go and do something. Let's be missional. Let's get out there and start telling young people about Jesus. Promotion. Let's talk about it. Let's let people know what we as a church are doing, talking to children that we have connection to, grandchildren, people, our neighbours, let's talk about it. And let's talk about the need. And I'm sure that we can all do at least one of these things. And that makes youth ministry something for our entire church, not just a handful of people, which is exciting because we all have a role to play. Just finally, we at Thrive are eager to invite churches to partner with us in reaching and raising young people in the area where they are and in a way that reflects the time that we are in. I would love to share with you our plans for doing this through our manifesto for 21st century youth work. So we're going to watch a video. Just before that starts, I think it might take a little bit of time to get going. I'm hoping that you'll see a little bit of it, but it might be more something that you listen to. There is no off-the-shelf way of doing youth work and youth and children's ministry. There's nothing that comes off the shelf that we apply and say, if you do this, you'll have an incredible youth work in your church. Instead, what we're saying is, let's just spend some time seeking the Lord and asking him what he's calling us as a church to do. And so we've put together the manifesto, which we think helps churches to just take a moment and to seek after the Lord. So the manifesto is currently happening in 13 churches across Coventry, Leamington and Warwick. And we are seeing God at work, not because this is a great idea, but because it's giving churches the opportunity to say, who are we as a church? What makes us unique? What are the giftings that we have? What are the opportunities that we have? For example, like a big space of green right in front of our church building. It's also asking, what are young people like in the 21st century? Here's a shocking statistic. It's not even a statistic, it's just a reality. There are no young people who were born in the 20th century anymore. Young people were born in the 21st century, and yet we often have a tendency to try and do youth ministry in the same way that we did in the 20th century. And so we're asking the question, what are young people like? What are their needs? What are the things that they are telling us they would like the church to do to serve them? We can only do that if we go out into the streets of Willenhall and ask young people that live here, what do you need from the church? We know that they need to hear the gospel. And so that might be our opportunity. And we also, through the manifesto, we're just asking churches, let's get on our knees and pray. Because we can put together a plan and a strategy, come up with a vision. But if we're doing all of that in our own strength, we're only going to get so far. But if the Lord is in it, and if the Lord is directing it, then he will bless it. So here is our manifesto for 21st century youth work. Thank you.
Many churches are starting to reach that place where they understand there needs to be a significant shift in their approach with young people and are open to being led. Our vision is to enable churches to develop youth work that's fit for the 21st century. Youth work that works. This is not going to be a quick fix, but our approach will help churches to build on what they already do, encourage them to engage with children and young people in the wider community, as well as those in the church, and to develop youth work based on relationships over activity. Thrive won't do your youth work for you, but we will do anything with you. We want to build on any existing work and make this stronger, and then help the church seek out new opportunities. So how does it work? We'll start by taking churches through a review, recce, receive process. These are the core elements of this project. We will support what is already happening in the church, as well as what could start quickly. We will help the church understand their attitudes towards youth work and explore what might need to change. We'll help identify what makes the church unique and maintain that authenticity, as this is a vital component in how they reach out to children and young people. A key step of this process is to create meaningful relationships with local young people not in the church. So we'll help churches to conduct surveys to explore what are the needs of the local young people, to enable them to start connecting. We will walk with the churches throughout this process, but ultimately, we want churches to be looking to God for guidance and direction. We encourage churches to pray regularly and wait on God for His leading. We will assist each church to draw up a strategy, plan it, and bring it to life. In addition, we will help each church to create a coordinating group, which will oversee the whole project, be responsible for communicating the process to the wider church family, and to learn the ethos of this new way of ministry. We will provide training for these coordinating groups in these new fundamentals, such as how we make youth outreach the priority in our church, how to communicate the gospel clearly to young people, especially those without church backgrounds, and how to create a warm, welcoming environment that teenagers will want to keep returning to enjoy. Thrive wants you to know that you are not alone, and we will walk with you and support you by offering guidance, expertise, and experience, and giving the churches the courage and confidence to try new approaches. If you want to find out more, visit our website, www.thriveym.org.uk/manifesto.
Thank you. I'd love to just finish by sharing a story of God at work in a church in Leamington, in the town of Leamington. There is a Baptist church that we've been working on the manifesto with for the last 2 years. As a church, they had no young people at all, and their kind of average Sunday attendance age was sort of late 50s, 60s. It really felt for them like youth ministry was not a thing that their church was going to be doing. And yet, they really felt like after we spent some time really praying, spending some time learning about them as a church, the gifts and skills that they had, they decided, let's just try. It's not, they didn't say, let's do a weekly thing. They just said, let's try going out to where young people are after school. There's a park, the top of Leamington, it's called Top Park. There's lots of schools where young people finish school, walk down through the park to get to buses. He said, maybe God's calling us to reach young people there. He said, let's just go out with a table. Let's get some hot chocolate. And as young people walk past, just say, would you like a free hot chocolate? The purpose of it was just to build relationships. So they've been doing that for the last year. They've given away hot chocolate. When it got a bit too hot for hot chocolate, they gave away ice cream. Sometimes young people say no thanks and they just walk past. Sometimes young people say, what's this all about? Suddenly there's an opportunity for a gospel conversation. About 5 weeks ago, the church had a barbecue that they invited all young people that were walking past. They said, we're having a barbecue on Sunday, church, kind of church in the park. Going to have a barbecue, some songs, some teaching from the Bible. We'd love you to come along. And six lads from year nine turned up that Sunday morning, and a girl from year seven. And that church were just blown away because they thought youth work is not a thing for us. We really believe that all churches are called to take this good news of Jesus to children and young people. I'm not sure if you've ever thought about your own church and your own opportunities for reaching young people, but in this part of Willenhall, there are at least 95% of young people that have no connection. We have to do something about that. As the church across the UK, we're getting older. We have to pass on our faith. We have to pass on the good news of Jesus to young people. So if any of the things that I've been saying have been interesting or exciting to you, I'd love to have some more conversations about that. If you as a church think maybe the manifesto is something that we could have a go at, then we would absolutely love to partner with you in that. As we said, we can't do youth work for you, but we will do anything with you. If you say we want to have a go at this, or if you say we think God might be telling us that this is what he's got in store for us, then we've got some experience, we'll bring some encouragement. But we would love to partner with you in what God is potentially going to be doing in this part of Coventry. Thank you very much. Let me pray for you. And then I'll be staying for lunch if anyone wants to have a chat. Father God, we just give you thanks and praise for the amazing good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom there is salvation from sin. And there is a promise of new life. There is freedom from guilt. There is joy. And there is assurance of an eternity with the God that created us. As saints, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we dwell on that incredible truth that we live in. We live in the reality and the fullness of the gospel every day. What amazing, amazing news we have. And we give you thanks as well that that's not just a gospel for us. We give you praise for the fact that you are a God who welcomes sinners. We give you praise that there is a harvest field out there. And the harvest is plentiful. And so, Father God, as Jesus instructed, we are praying to you to send workers out into the field. From this church, I pray that you will send workers out to meet with young people that don't know you. Father God, your creation, there are young people in this area that don't know you. And yet there is a Savior who laid his life down for them. I pray that you'll put us to work. And pray that you allow us to not just be happy with turning up on a Sunday morning at church. I pray that you'll put us to work. That is what you've called us to do. I give you praise for this church. I give you praise for its presence here in the community, in this part of Willenhall, this part of Coventry. Give you praise for the work that you've done in this church throughout the years. Give you praise for lives that have been won for your kingdom in this church. And give you praise for the gifts that you've put within the people in this church. And give you praise for the opportunity that you've given us to take the good news out. As we think about, Father God, how we can be involved in reaching and raising young people, I pray that you'll be stirring up within us a desire to go out and take this good news out there. We give you praise, Father God, for all that you've done in our lives, all that you're doing in our church, and all that you're doing in your kingdom. Amen. Amen. Thank you.